Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fresen Show. I'm Boba Shah, the kosher butcher's wife, with a hop, skip and a jump in my voice, as I am so appreciative and excited because I have just been blessed with a gorgeous new granddaughter, and I'm using all this excitement to get me into the mood for Pesach. Okay, so Pesach is fast approaching, and the menu planning frenzy has begun. You walk into any supermarket and you'll hear somebody say, "What are you going to make for first night? I don't know what to make." And on top of it, it goes Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. So it shoppers into a yontav. And you know what I found quite easy when it's shoppers going into a yontav? You eat outside on paper plates, plastic knives and forks, get it all done and prepared in tinfoil containers, wrap it up in a plastic tablecloth and dump it in the rubbish tin after that. So it's quite easy, and it really doesn't have to be such a glamorous Friday night, because you're going to have a beautiful, relaxed Pesach on the Saturday night. But remember, we can only start warming things up after Shabbos comes out. So get all your stuff done early, prepare a menu, and just go into your supermarket with the necessary ingredients. Don't panic, just remain calm, and just, I know it's daunting and I know sometimes it's a bit scary, but it's going to be good. And thank God this year we will all be together. My whole family are coming out, my kids, my grandchildren, my nieces, all coming from London, and we're going to have one of those Pesach Seders with a whole family, the brothers, the sisters, the children, everybody are together. And togetherness is just definitely my love language. So this week out comes my Pesach to ring hot plate with my mix master, and I start. I get my ice creams done, and I know I can just see it going through your heads now. One of the questions, what are we going to do? We haven't got oily whip again, but stay tuned because I've got an option for you. Make them a creamiest, beautiful ice cream. And of course, my first thought were the kids are coming from London, I'll get them to bring me some ice cream, but they arrive area of Pesach, so that's no good. So I've really been experimenting with ice creams, and I'm going to share them with you just now. And as we go for an ad break.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? This is Essen Fresen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fresen Show. We'll be talking Pesach, and I'm going to kick off with dessert. So we're going backwards, forwards. So in my mind, no meal is complete without dessert. I have a very sweet tooth, and so get those pens and pencils out, because we are going to create some of those I can't believe this is Pesach moments. So I'll be sharing some of these recipes, as well as some tips later on for a smooth sailing Pesach. So I did two Pesach demonstrations this week, and I met the most wonderful woman. We have such a warm community. It's just incredible. And I don't think we realize how blessed we are. So many came who had never done a Pesach Seder. Mothers brought their daughters and daughters-in-law, and their mothers were actually saying, "I've handed over to my daughters and my daughter-in-law, so they needed to come and see how to prepare for Pesach." And some were even doing it for the first time, some even changing over for the first time. So let's start. As I said, we're going to start from backwards, from back of the menu to the front, and we're going to do something really simple, because I do believe that after that hefty meal, all the matzah, the wine, the eggs, the starters, the fish, the soup, everything. And I know I always say, every year I say, you know what, I'm not going to do fishes, and we're just going to have soup, meat, and dessert. But somehow always like slip in an extra course. Anyway, it's in the blood. So we are going to do threaded grapes. So you take 12 sticks or more, depending on how many people you're having at your Seder. Get a kilo of white seedless grapes and a kilo of red seedless grapes. And all you do is you thread them onto your wooden stick, you place them on a tray, and you freeze them. Of course, you can make fruit kebabs, but this is just something that you can make ahead of time and stick it in your freezer. I know once before I gave a recipe for grapes where you take all your grapes, put them into a jar, glass bottle, and cover them in a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of vodka, a little bit of water, and you'll have everybody enjoying the Seder and not looking at their watch and saying, what time is it? How long do they go on for? Because they won't know the difference. Okay, so all you do, as I say, is you thread them onto a stick and you place them onto a tray and freeze them and just serve them at the end of the course. You could even, if you want to really get fancy, you could even serve them after soup to clear people's palates. But a fruit kebab is also an easy thing to do with strawberries, grapes, pineapple, and all that, your favorite fruits. But last year, I have to share a recipe with you. My niece introduced me to baked cinnamon syrup pineapples. This was absolutely delicious. It is two pineapples. Now, they used to, because we didn't have such a huge crowd. And you can do three if you want. You can double up and do as many as you want. And then you peel the pineapples and you remove all those little black eyes from the pineapple. And you make up this sauce, which is half a cup of syrup, simple enough, and a tablespoon of cinnamon. You'll also need some tin foil. And what you do is you place the two pieces of tin foil onto the countertop. One runs horizontally and the other lengthwise. And then you preheat your oven to 180. You place the beautifully peeled, not sliced, they must be whole, pineapples in the middle of your tin foil. And you pour the sauce over it and just rotate the pineapples a little bit so they all get covered in lovely sauce. And you can add a pinch of salt as well. It's always nice to add a little bit of salt to your syrup and cinnamon. It brings out the flavors. And you scrunch the tin foil, roll it up in the middle, put it into a baking tray or baking sheet, and you bake it for 45 to 50 minutes. And then you serve it with coconut and banana sorbet. Now, the reason I'm giving you is a lovely sorbet is because we're not getting woolly again this year. So here's a simple recipe and almost got a beautiful tropical dessert. It is, before I start, let me give you a tip on coconut milk. So I use the chocolatey desiccated coconut, the fine one, which I also use in my biscuit dough and in my my cakes and whatever. And it's worth your while to actually get the 1 kilo bag because you can do so much with coconut milk. You wouldn't believe that you could use it in cakes, ice cream, you can make a Thai chicken dish, you can make a butternut soup dish and put this coconut milk into it. And all you have to do is, this is just a recipe for about 1.5 cups of coconut milk, double up, as I say, rather get the 1 kilo bag. Take 2 cups of desiccated coconut, the fine one, a pinch of salt, and you cover it with 4 cups of boiling water and you bring it to the boil on the stove. And then put the lid on the pot and you allow it to simmer for 10 minutes. Use a small pot because you don't want all that water to evaporate too quickly. And you let it simmer for about 10 minutes with the lid on. Switch off the heat and allow this to just cool and let all that beautiful coconut taste come out into the milk. And you strain it through a muslin cloth or fine sieve. And there you have beautiful coconut milk. So what we do is Now, this is for the banana and coconut ice cream, which we're going to serve with those beautifully baked pineapples. We peel and cut 6 bananas into 3-centimeter cubes. And you freeze them. Freeze them on a flat tray. Make up your coconut milk, as I said, mentioned previously. And then you add that to, you take it out, the take the banana out the freezer once it's really frozen. Add the coconut milk to it. You blend it up and you refreeze it again for another 3 hours. You re-blend it because you want to take, you want it to have like a nice velvety feel to it. So you re-blend it until it's lovely and smooth, and you serve it with the pineapple and ice cream together with a sprig of mint on top, and it looks too beautiful. So now I also have a recipe for peanut buttercup ice cream. Now I use almond oil, I use a lot of almond flour this year. I use this for the demonstrations, and I can guarantee that the chocolate tree one is really amazing. That's the one that we can get on all our shelves at the moment. And I use it for my cakes, my biscuits, everything I'll be using it for this year. And everything that I demonstrated, thank God, worked really well. Other than, of course, me taking out one of the ice creams instead of an ice cream mousse, and that ice too early and it melted. But anyway, let's get back to the peanut buttercup ice cream. You will need... Because what it basically is, you know what? I'm going to come back to you after the break because I have a few things that I need to explain.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
So we are talking about, we're talking desserts. And as I was talking to you about almond flour, and would you believe that all the cakes that I'm actually making for Pesach this year are gluten-free because I'm using almond flour, and I don't think, I think there's one recipe I've got here which uses matzah meal, or rather cake meal, which is basically matzah meal ground really fine. But almond flour, as I said, has been making the most incredible cakes for me, and desserts and biscuits. And as I have a gluten-free members of my family, this is perfect. They can eat this. And it's also wonderful, I mean, for those who don't eat gebrocht, so they can use almond flour. It's terrific. So peanut butter cup ice cream. We need 1 cup of peanut butter, creamy peanut butter. I know that Chocolate Tree is bringing it out. 1 cup of granulated sugar, plus more, a little bit for rolling. 100 grams of almond flour, 2 large eggs, and a teaspoon of vanilla extract. And what you do is you prepare a baking sheet, quite a long one. Preheat your oven to 350 and put a little bit of baking spray at the bottom of your pan. You actually don't need baking spray because you're going to be using baking paper. So what I did was I combined all the ingredients together, the peanut butter, the sugar, the almond flour, eggs, and vanilla, mix it all together into a large bowl, and then I put it in the fridge. Put it in the fridge for about half an hour to an hour. And then I cut 3 pieces of paper to fit the base of the your round 18-centimeter springform tin. Then what I did, why I cut out 3 was because I like to roll the biscuit in between 2 layers of baking paper. So I place half the dough mixture, once I've refrigerated it, between 2 sheets of baking paper, roll it out to fit the cut circle, the cut baking paper circle. Then I take 1 layer off, place this onto this the bottom of my springform tin. Then I roll another piece of dough between 2 of the last pieces of baking paper, and take the top layer off, put that on the baking tray, and there I have 2 biscuit dough slices, so to speak, biscuits, large biscuits, baking for about 15 minutes or until it's golden brown. Then I remove it and allow it to cool. And then I sandwich it, sandwich the two layers, the one in the springform tin, the one in the baking paper. I sandwich that with vanilla ice cream. It's really a simple but delicious ice cream. So how am I going to make my vanilla ice cream without Ollie Whip? And this is what you'll need. 8 eggs separated. Yes. You know what? This is definitely the festival. Pesach is definitely the festival of onions and eggs. I think I used 5 dozen eggs just for my 2 demonstrations. So you need eggs separated, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 packet of vanilla pudding mix. I think it's awesome that it's kosher for Pesach. And 2 teaspoons of vanilla essence. Now, what I would do is I wouldn't double up on the recipe. I'd rather make, if you want to make more vanilla ice cream, I'd rather make 2. Okay, so as you make the one, start with the next one. Beat eggs with the sugar for 10 minutes until it's creamy in color and creamy in texture. Then you turn the speed down and you add vanilla pudding and vanilla essence, scrape down the sides, and just beat it all together, and then set that aside. In another bowl, you beat your egg whites, and when firm, fold them in to your egg yolk mixture. And if you want to make it a chocolate ice cream, you do exactly the same. You separate your eggs, 1/2 cup of sugar, and instead of the vanilla pudding mix, we use the chocolate mix, and then we melt 300 grams of chocolate, powder of chocolate, add it to the yolks, fold it in or beat it in, and that will give you, if you actually use a little bit more chocolate, you can have a beautiful firm chocolate mousse that you can just refrigerate. But if you want that to be ice cream, you can use about 300 grams of powder of chocolate, melt it in, and it's as easy as that. So there you have your ice cream, your vanilla ice cream, and your chocolate ice cream. If you have my book, you can also go to the Pesach section in Celebrating with the Kosher Butcher's Wife, and you will also find a delicious recipe for chocolate ice cream, which doesn't use the vanilla pudding because some people don't like to use processed products and ingredients. Okay, now, a simple and easy chocolate ball recipe. So, I experimented this last year. I bought one of the awesome, because you know you tend to make your own cakes. Well, I do, but I noticed that one of these cakes was special, so I decided let me try and experiment with them. What can I do? So I made some of. I bought the marble cake and I made some of the marble. What can we call the marble pops? So I crumbled the whole cake into a bowl. And I added 3 tablespoons of peanut butter, which I melted in the microwave to make it, you know, quite soft, with a tablespoon of syrup. That's all I added. And then I microwaved that for about 30 seconds until it was soft. Don't let it burn. Watch it. Do 15 seconds first and then watch it. And then I poured that over the crumbled cake mix. And then what I did was I scooped, mix it well, mix the whole mixture together, and I scooped it into melon balls with a melon ball, a baller, or you can use a cookie scooper, the small ones with a spring. And then I just scooped them up and I rolled them between my wet hands, placed them onto a tray, placed a toothpick into the center of each one, and I froze it. After I think it was the next day, I left them overnight. I removed them from the freezer and I dipped them into a deep bowl with melted chocolate. And why it's deep is because you actually want to coat all the balls. dipped it in chocolate, and then I sprinkled some crushed nuts on top. And that was it. We had beautiful marble cake pops, I suppose we could call them, which is also nice. You know, what I've done, I did one year for desserts, was I got a big tray, and I just put mandelbrot on there, and I put the all sorts of biscuits and little items on, and that seemed to go better because people are quite full. But and you can also put fruit on the platter as well, and just pass it around as you're singing the songs. So talking about mandelbrot, let me give you a quick recipe for that. And how that came about was because it was Pesach one year, and my mother-in-law came to me and said to me, "What am I going to do? What can I eat? Because I have to take something to eat before I take my medication in the morning. And I always eat rusks." So she said, "Then just make mandelbrot." She said, "Me make mandelbrot. You're going to make the mandelbrot." So here it is. The ingredients are 3 large eggs, 1/2 cup of coconut oil melted. I just love the taste of the coconut oil, and it just works well. 1 cup of sugar divided. You'll need 3/4 to make up the mandelbrot, and the other quarter will be used for sprinkling on top. 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1/2 teaspoon, just a little bit of the lemon zest, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon salt to bring out all those lovely flavors, 1 cup of cake meal, 1/2 cup of almond flour. If you don't want to use the cake meal, then you can use 1.5 cups of almond flour, 2 tablespoons of potato starch, 1 cup of slivered almonds. This is lovely because it gives just that lovely almond taste and gives texture. You know me, I love textures and everything. And then 3/4 cup, which will probably be 100 grams of walnuts chopped. Then you'll need 1 egg to paint on top of the biscotti, and that's where we're going to sprinkle our sugar. So this is what we do. We preheat our oven to 170. And in a mixing bowl, we whisk together the oil, the sugar, and we beat in the eggs until it's all mixed in well. We whisk in the lemon juice, lemon zest, cinnamon, and salt. And use a large wooden spoon to stir in the cake meal, almond flour, and potato starch, or all almond flour and potato starch, until it's a sort of sticky but firm dough. Okay, and you stir in the slivered almonds and the chopped nuts. And then you cover the batter with plastic wrap. What I did was I almost rolled it up like a big polony. And then I put it in the fridge for about an hour. And I mean, you can put it in for much longer. I mean, you can leave it there for 2 days if you want to. And it really it gets firmer, and it's just easier to put onto the tray. And then when we're ready to bake it, as we preheat the oven to 170, and we grease a baking sheet, or you can use a baking tray, or you can use a baking sheet or parchment paper, whatever's easier. And we oil or wet your hands and divide the dough into 2 polonies, if you haven't already, before you refrigerate it. And you put it on the tray and you flatten it out so that it's about 2 centimeters, 2 to 3 centimeters thick, each polony. And you keep each polony, as I call it, for want of a better word, keep them about 5 or 6 centimeters apart because they do spread. And then you bake it. What you do first is you paint it with the egg wash, and you sprinkle it with some sugar, and you can actually sprinkle it with a little bit of cinnamon as well. And you cut it into 2 centimeter slices after it's cooked. And then you turn them onto their sides and you put them back on the baking sheet into the oven. These are now the sliced mandelbrot already, and you put it onto your cookie sheet and you bake it for another 10 to 20 minutes until they're firm and they crisp, and the oven will really dry them up and they'll get lovely and crispy. And just keep an eye on them that they don't burn. Take them out, and you'll have lovely crispy mandelbrot that you can have before you have your medication. And then you can store it in an airtight container or a Ziploc bag, and they will last the whole of Pesach unless everybody eats them on the first day. Right, so now another very popular, and actually somebody asked me, please, if I would give the matzah crack recipe. Now, we all know the famous matzah crack. It's a layer of matzah, crunchy toffee, pour of chocolate on top. You can actually put a little bit of sea salt on top. You can put nuts if you want to. And all you need, I'm so excited because this year we have got light brown sugar that we can use, as long as it's got the Bethdin label stamp on it. However, this is not the treacle sugar. This is just the brown sugar that looks like white sugar, but it's brown. So you'll need a cup of packed light brown sugar, about 220 grams of margarine, a teaspoon of vanilla, 3/4 of a cup of, I use more, I use about a cup of the pour of beautiful semi-sweet pour of chocolate, which if you can't get the chocolate dots, as they call them, just put your chocolate in the freezer and just break it up with a rolling pin, and you can spread that on top, and chopped nuts if you want. And then somebody said to me, have you ever tried fresh chili? No, I've never tried fresh chili, but that's just an option. This is just hearsay from somebody who said, just put some chili flakes or put some chili on top of it. I'm a bit nervous. Maybe I'll make one layer with that. So we begin by arranging the matzah, okay, the big sheets of matzah, in a single layer on a baking sheet. I double up, so I use a little bit more. And you make the toffee by combining the marge and brown sugar in a saucepan. You bring it to the boil and you cook it for about 4 minutes while it's bubbling. Then you pour it over the matzah, which is already in your baking tray, which you have baking paper on top of, and you pour that delicious toffee over the matzah, and you bake it in the oven, which is on 180. Bake it in the oven until it starts bubbling up for about 10 minutes. Take it out, and while it's still hot and lovely and bubbly, pour the chocolate chips or the chocolate buttons or the chocolate, whatever you've done with the chocolate, over the toffee, and allow it to melt, and spread it with a spatula over the toffee, and then you can pour your nuts and whatever over it, and then you refrigerate it for about, and just until it hardens. You don't want to refrigerate it too long, because I don't want the matzah to go soggy. So you take it out once the chocolate is firm, and you break it up into little pieces, and keep it in an airtight container. And that's something else that you can put on your big platter of individual little sweets. So now everybody has been asking for the ultimate vanilla cake for Pesach. So here it is, and you will need 6 eggs, 1.5 cups of sugar, 1/2 cup of oil, 1 packet of vanilla pudding, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 2 teaspoons of vanilla essence or extract, 1 pinch of salt, 2 cups of almond flour, and 1 cup of potato starch. And this is what I've been doing for a few years. And always comes out beautifully, and you can actually glaze it with icing sugar and a little bit of orange juice if you want to, and or a little bit of vanilla essence. You can actually add margarine if you want to make it more creamy. But this is what we do. We preheat our oven to 170. Now, you can either use a Bunton if you have one for Pesach, or use a 20 by 28 a rectangular tin or aluminium pan and a loaf tin. But remember that the cake must go half the way up. And in a mixing bowl, you whisk together the eggs, sugar, oil, pudding, baking powder, vanilla, what else is there? Salt, and just combine it, and it's lovely and creamy. And you gradually add the almond flour and potato starch, and you stir until a batter forms, and you pour it into the either into two pans if you want to, and have icing in the middle, or apricot jam in the middle, or into your baking pan, and you bake it for about 45 minutes to an even sometimes 55 minutes. But you'll check it with a toothpick. And if you want to make it chocolate, then instead of using the vanilla pudding, use a chocolate pudding. And instead of a cup of 1 cup of potato flour, you can use half a cup of potato flour and half a cup of cocoa powder. And on that note, let's go to a break.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Okay, so at the beginning of the show, I said that I would give you a few tips on a smooth-running Pesach. So, there's so much to be done before Pesach, and it's hard to even begin. But we have to begin. And everybody says, start freezing. But you have to have a separate area to make the food so that you can start freezing. And that's where it all starts. And do yourself a favor this year. If you haven't thought about it, buy yourself a two-plate stove. I mean, you can, if you really want to, you can buy yourself a two-plate oven, which is great because then you can bake cakes and you can get everything ready beforehand. But an electric beater and a two-plate stove is really, you will not believe what comes out of my Pesach patio kitchen just from that. Now, that little luxury of the stove as well helps you with roasting and cooking the meat, and you'll be able to freeze. And especially this year when Shabbos runs into Yom Tov, we've got to be prepared. We have to have everything made up so that all we have to do after Shabbos is just warm everything up. And you know that beautiful dress that you were eyeing for Yom Tov? Well, weigh that up against a two-plate stove or even a crock pot that will make preparing for Pesach such a breeze. You'll find something, I promise you, you'll find something else in your cupboard to wear. You won't look like an oyskupumte balabos, I promise you. Don't you love it when people arrive on Pesach smelling of gorgeous Estee Lauder? Their nails and hair look like they've just stepped out of the salon. Their high heels and papuzzi outfit. When you feel like you stink of brisket, not wanting to take your crocs off, don't want to brush your hair and put on lipstick, and just feel like climbing into bed. Well, not this year. Because you're going to smell like a rose and look like a model and be the belle of the ball. So, if there's one thing I can tell you, which I do every year and really helps me, is I take my Pesach crock pot, plug it in, and on the veranda, I must make about 10 or 12 onions, slice them up, slice them in half, slice them into slices, stick it in the crock pot at about 5 o'clock at night, and add a little bit of oil. You can add a little bit of red wine if you want to make it really fancy. And you stick it into the crock pot, and you wake up the next morning with the crock pot, a large onions, a little bit of salt and pepper. You can add a chicken cube if you want to, a little bit of water, a little bit of red wine. You can add a little bit of sugar if you want to have caramelized onions. And you will not believe the next morning you will have all these beautiful onions caramelized. You can even add bay leaves if you want to the onions. And all you have to do is take your brisket, cover it with some onions, caramelized onions, a little bit more salt and pepper, and you will have the best brisket you will ever imagine. So, have we got time? Can I share a baby marrow and cashew nut soup? So now we're going backwards. We've done the brisket, we've done the desserts brisket, and now let's go to baby marrow and cashew nut soup. This was a recipe given to me, quite a few years ago. And it actually is wonderful because it's so easy to make. And you'll need a little oil for frying, 2 large onions chopped, 4 big leeks. Use the white parts, check them nicely, and then chop them up. But remember, you're going to be blending it at the end to make it really super smooth. So the leeks don't have to be 1 centimeter big. You'll need 8 baby marrows, 8 courgettes sliced, 2 large potatoes peeled and cubed, 20 grams, because I see now everything, it used to be 35 grams of the packets of fresh vegetables. Now I see it's all 20 grams. So 20 grams of parsley, the flat leaf parsley, 4 chicken and vegetable cubes, and enough water to cover all the vegetables. And then you'll need 200 grams of raw cashew nuts, salt and pepper to taste. And the most important thing is now, when you fry your onions and leeks, fry your onions and leeks first, and they must really go a lovely caramel color, because this is going to give your soup a beautiful taste. So get them to be don't burn them, just get them a light brownie color. Then you add your marrows and you continue to cook everything until it's soft. Then you add your chicken or vegetable cubes and water. And then you add your cashew nuts, potatoes, bring it all to the boil. And when boiling, reduce the heat and add the parsley and allow the soup to simmer on low for about an hour and a half. And with the lid on, of course, because we don't want all that lovely liquid to evaporate. And after 1 hour, you see what happens when I use my hands? Sorry, I bumped the microphone. After 1 hour, see that the potatoes are soft. Finally, add your salt and pepper. Blend it until it's smooth. And if you feel that it's too thick, then add a little bit more water and just taste it and make it to how you want it. I mean, if you want to add a little bit of curry powder to it, you can even do that. So, that is about all I can share. I think, there's so many things that I'd love to share, but time is of the essence. I mean, one of my friends actually makes machos, not nachos, because the kids, I don't know why, they're permanently hungry over Pesach. So what you do is you preheat your oven to 190 degrees. You paint your matzah with oil and garlic, put it in the oven, and you just let it crisp up. Remove it from the oven and let it crisp up, as I say, and serve it around tomato sauce. You can get the ready pre-made tomato salsas and grate some cheese over it, put some olives on, paper thin onions, some fresh coriander, and put it back into the oven until it just melts. And there's something for them when they're really hungry. Well, I think that's all for now. Thank you for joining me. And if I don't see you or speak to you before Pesach, have a wonderful Pesach. And just take it easy and just smell like a rose and just relax like everybody else does on Pesach.